Welcome to this edition of Spotlight on the Word. In this particular session, we are going to study the Gospel of John and what a unique and vivid and powerful book it is. When we think about the four accounts of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how we need to keep in mind that Matthew emphasizes that Jesus is the King. And a very key word is fulfillment, that it might be fulfilled. It looks back to the Old Testament and shows how Jesus is the promised one, the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. Then we look at the book of Mark. A great word to remember is servant. Mark 10, verse 45, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." Mark seems to think that what Jesus did proves who Jesus was. So it is a gospel that's fast-paced. It is a gospel account that is a moving type of presentation. Then we come to the book of Luke. And Luke is a historian that emphasizes the perfect humanity of Jesus and how the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. And then we come to the Gospel of John, which stresses the deity, the godhood, the divinity of Christ. In John 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." God put on flesh. God became a human. There is an emphasis on the incarnation, God putting on flesh in John, and especially John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. When we look at the book of John, one of the things that we're going to notice is that it's quite different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There is no real emphasis upon the parabolic. It's difficult to find any parables in the Gospel of John. When we look at the book of John, there is a strong emphasis on personal conversations that Jesus had, private and public discourses, if you will, of Jesus with others. John loves to emphasize that. When one looks at the Gospel of John, something of its uniqueness can be seen in the fact that John deals in great detail with the last few days of the life of Christ. As a matter of fact, John chapter 13 through chapter 21, the book has 21 chapters, that section deals with the last week or so of the life of Jesus our Lord. So there's a strong emphasis on the last few days of Jesus. And there is a strong emphasis given to the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus. As a matter of fact, almost half of the entire book consists of the words of Jesus Himself. Someone has remarked that about 85% of the material contained in the Gospel of John is unique. And by that I mean it's found only in this particular volume concerning Jesus. You don't find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Some 85% of the material found in the Gospel of John is unique. All of these things are very helpful to our study of this rich, rich book. What a great treatise it is on the person and work of Christ. Now, when we look at the book of John, there are seven great I am statements, seven great I am statements concerning Jesus. In John chapter 6 and verse 35 through about verse 48, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." When you look at John chapter 8 and verse 12 and John 9 verses 5 and 6, there's a second great I am statement. I am the light of the world. John 6:35 and following, the bread of life, Jesus says He is. John 8 and John chapter 9, He says He's the light of the world. And then we come to John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, there's two great I am statements. from Jesus. He says, I am the door, John chapter 10, verses 4 through 9. I am the door. And he also says, John 10, 11 through 14, I am the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. We go on to John chapter 11 and verse 25, and there's a fifth I am statement. Well worth noting when you think about who Jesus is, the person and the work of Christ, especially in going back to the Old Testament and how Moses was confronted by God, and Moses asked God, who shall I say sent me? And God says, I am. Again, Exodus 3 and verse 14. Well, when we look at John 11, 25, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But when we go to John chapter 14 and verse 6, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Again, that's John 14 and verse 6. And finally, in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, Jesus describes Himself as the true vine. I am the vine, He says, and you are the branches. In John 8, 58, the Lord would say, before Abraham was, I am. Not only are these great I am statements concerning our Lord found in the Gospel of John, but there's also seven great sign miracles emphasized. There's seven great sign miracles accentuated, beginning in John chapter 2. The very first miracle that Christ performed, turning water into wine, John 2, 1 through 11. When you look at John 4, verses 46 through 54, there's a second great miracle, a sign pointing to who He is and where He came from. In John 4, 46 and following, it's healing the nobleman's son. In John chapter 5, a man is made whole. In John 5, 1 through 11, who apparently was lame and hadn't been able to walk in years. In John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, we see the power of Jesus, a sign, a miracle. Jesus feeds the 5,000. And again in John chapter 6, verses 15 through 21, Jesus walks on water. In John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man born blind. And in John chapter 11, there is the raising of Lazarus, who had been dead for several days. So when we look at this book, we see the seven great I am statements, but we also can see the power of Jesus, the signs, the miracles that He did. You know, the Gospel of Luke gives a purpose statement in Luke 1, 1 through 4, to provide an orderly account of the life of Jesus as He had consulted sources and as the Spirit of God would inspire Him in writing the Gospel account of Luke. Well, John gives us a purpose statement as well, but he gives the purpose statement to his document toward the end of the Gospel account. It's found in John 20, verses 30 and 31. Notice how important this purpose statement is. Many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life in His name. Notice these truths about the Gospel of John. In the first place, catch this. The Gospel of John is selective in what it discusses. Many other signs. That's what the passage says. It's not only selective, but it's also attested. Many other signs. Secondly, it's attested. In the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe. There's an apologetic purpose to the book of John, that one might believe that Jesus is the Christ. there is an interpretive purpose, that you might believe He is the Christ. There's a definitive purpose, the Son of the living God. He's the one who was promised in the Old Testament, an interpretive purpose. The Son of the living God, there is a very effective purpose. John is saying, what I have written is sufficient in and of itself to bring about true faith in Jesus. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing have life in His name. There's an authoritative purpose. Life is in the name of Jesus. So when we look at this book, we've examined how that Jesus is the great I Am. We've noticed at and marveled at His power. We've noticed together and marveled at His power. And we've looked at a passage, John 20, verses 30 and 31, that's really crucial as a purpose statement to letting us know what this great book is all about. Let me briefly focus on some key words in the book of John, that if we can get these words in the back of our mind and understand them properly, we will be able to get a better grip and understanding of the book of John itself. Let me share with you 6 or 7 such words. One key word of the book of John is the word abide, to hold to cling to. The expression is found some 41 times in the book of John. John chapter 15 is the classic passage on abiding in Christ in the Bible. So we must understand that in coming to Jesus, there is a partnership, if you will, involved. Yes, we rely on His grace and love and mercy to save, but we seek more than anything to abide in Him. Then there's the second word, the word believe. It's found some 98 times in the 21 chapters that make up the book of John. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing have life in His name. And when one looks at belief in the Gospel of John, there's this idea of trust, there's this idea of obedience, and there is the idea, the concept of joy. An old hymn says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not only does this book emphasize abiding and believing in Jesus, but there's also a very strong emphasis on the Father. The Father. The idea here is found, the unique relationship that Jesus has with the Father is stressed throughout the book of John. Some 136 times references made to the Father. In my Father's house, John 14, are many dwelling places. I and the Father are one, John 10, verse 30. My Father, there's a unique and special relationship Jesus claims to have with the Father. But fourth, consider the word know. We live at a time in history where knowledge seems to be in short supply. Ignorance of God and the things of God is never bliss. It is never right. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. John 8 and verse 32. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. John 17 and verse 17. Truth is a key expression in the book of John. Truth is real. Truth is objective. Truth is substantive. Truth can be known and embraced and saved. It can save us. That's the idea that's given in the book of John. But as we keep looking at this particular book, another key expression is the word sign. Sign. Some 17 times in the Gospel of John, reference is made to the miracles of the Lord as signs. and they point to who He is. What Jesus did points to His identity, who He in reality is, God, God with us. And as we think about the book of John, there is an emphasis upon the world. Some 78 times the expression is mentioned. God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, Jesus. John 3:16. So there's this emphasis on expressions like this, that if we see how often they're repeated, how that they are really just the essence of what the message of the book is all about, we'll appreciate the great book of John even more. Let's look now briefly at Jesus in the 21 chapters that make up the Gospel of John. In John chapter 1, Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Word. He is divine communication. He is God who has put on human flesh. The Word is incarnation. If Jesus were just God, He would not save. And if Jesus were just man, He could not save. Jesus is God, man. He put on human flesh, and it tells us something about the greatness of our God. There is no God in any religious system that even begins to compare to Jesus Christ, our Lord. In John chapter 2, having emphasized Jesus as God in the first chapter, John 2 emphasizes Jesus as man. His first miracle is at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Our Lord was interested in others. He attended times of celebration. He was not some type of ascetic. He was not a hermit. He was involved in others' lives. And notice He performs His first miracle at a wedding feast. In John chapter 3, Jesus is the master teacher. Jesus teaches Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, who comes to Him in the evening because he wants to know more about who Jesus is. And Jesus teaches the necessity of the new birth, of being born of water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God, John 3, verses 3 through 7. For many, many years there was no dispute whatsoever in the religious world that water had reference to baptism, to be born of water and the Spirit of God. Then one would enter the kingdom. Only in relatively recent times, in the last 200 or so years, have people begun to question that. But when one looks at the context and the reference to water, from John 2 and from John 4, it becomes obvious that water is obviously literal here and not symbolic or figurative. In light of what the rest of the New Testament teaches concerning water baptism, this certainly makes sense. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38, Jesus is the master teacher. Nicodemus is amazed at what he hears. In John chapter 4, Jesus is the model soul winner. Jesus encounters the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and He is able to deal with her and questions that she has. He deals with objections that she raises. And in so doing, she ends up going into the community and saying, "Here's a man that's told me everything that I've ever done. Can this be the Christ?" And she's instrumental in bringing many to the Lord. Jesus is the master soul winner. Because He came down, we can go up. And because Jesus came down to bring people to Him, we, as His people, can bring others to Him as well. In John chapter 5, Jesus is the one that is witnessed to by many. God Himself, John the Baptizer, the law of Moses, And in John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Jesus is the one to whom the Father has committed judgment, and He is worthy of the praise and status that God the Father has. Jesus is fully and completely God. Whatever makes God, God, Jesus has it, and He has it perfectly. He has it completely. In John chapter 6, Jesus is the bread of life. He is what our souls hunger for. He's what we desperately need. Some people have their belly as their God. How we need to hunger and thirst after the righteousness that's to be found in Jesus. Matthew 5 and verse 6. In John chapter 7, Jesus is the one who says, "Judge not according to appearance, judge righteous judgment." He does just that. "Which one of you can convict me of sin?" He would go on to say in John chapter 8. "I always do the things that are pleasing to my Father." John 8 and verse 29. In John 8, He's the liberator of the enslaved. John 8, 31 and 32. "If you continue in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In John chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, He's the light of the world. How dark things are without Him. He is the light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. He's the Son of God, 1 John 1, verses 3 through 7. As we look at John chapter 10, Jesus is the Good Shepherd, John 10, 11 through 14. That section indicates that Jesus feeds His sheep. Jesus leads His sheep. He provides everything that His sheep need. And people are spoken of, souls are spoken of, humans who have come to Jesus are spoken of as the sheep, He being the Good Shepherd. You know, you think about that. What is a shepherd to the sheep? Everything. Jesus is our everything. John chapter 11. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. "If anyone believes in Him, though they die, yet shall they live." What a statement, and consider the context at the death of Lazarus. Mary and Martha are in tears because their beloved brother has died. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus would raise Lazarus, and Lazarus would only be raised to die again. But Jesus would make it possible through His death and resurrection, His own death and resurrection, for us to be raised to truly die no more. Romans 6 and verse 9 through 19. As we go through the Word of God, look at John chapter 12. Who is Jesus? He's the King, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." He is the King. But indeed, as John would later write in the book of Revelation, He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Revelation 19 and verse 16. Look at John chapter 13. Who is Jesus? Oh, Jesus is the great servant. He's the one who washes feet. Imagine washing the apostles' feet. The King washes feet. In the study of the Gospel of John, one will be particularly impressed at how often John goes from one to the opposite. Jesus is God. Jesus is man. Jesus is the King, John 12. Jesus is the great servant, John 13. And then we look at John chapter 14. Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is a very exclusive statement. Is Jesus the only Savior? There's only three possible answers to the question. Yes, He is the only Savior. No, He's not the only Savior. Or yes, but He's the only Savior. But more may be involved in being saved than we would think. The Bible only teaches the first truth. The other two are false. Jesus is the only Savior, the way. Without Him, there's no knowing anything because He's the truth, He's the way, and He's the life. There's no living in any way apart from Him. In John chapter 15, John 15, Jesus is the good shepherd, back in John 10, but now He's the true vine, the great I am. John 15, the true vine. You are the branches. In a divided religious world today, how we need to be sustained, taught, fed, taken care of, provided for by Jesus and Jesus alone. He's the true vine. In John 16, verses 13 through 15, Jesus is the giver of the Holy Spirit to His apostles, and the Holy Spirit would bring to the remembrance the things that He had taught, guide them into all truth, and they would write that down for us in the Word of God. In John 17, the Lord is the great intercessor. He prays for His apostles. He prays for us in John 17, verses 20 through 26, that we would be one on the basis of the apostles' teaching. In John chapter 18, Jesus is the model sufferer. Isaiah 53 would be a great passage to read. Isaiah 53 in reference to Jesus in John 18. He is the model sufferer. In John 19, He is the uplifted Savior. He's on the cross and He cries out, "It is finished." John 19 and verse 30, paid in full. An old hymn says, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." In John chapter 20, Jesus is the risen Lord. Up from the grave He arose. You have that powerful purpose statement in John 20, verses 30 and 31. And finally, in John chapter 21, Jesus is the restorer of the fallen. He is our all. "Do you love me?" He asks. "Do you love me? What is that to you?" "Feed my sheep." He initially said these things to Peter, but in essence, He asks us all, "Do you love me? What is that to you? Feed my sheep." Oh, this book powerfully accentuates the deity, the Godhood, the place of Jesus. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John 1 and verse 29.